Hi, and welcome to Vogue Uncut, the podcast that's all about celebrating the lived experience of women in Singapore and beyond. Imagine getting first dibs on Vogue's latest episodes, behind-the-scenes content, and even some chic surprises along the way. Join Club Vogue on vogue.sg/subscribe to be part of our inner circle.
Hello, and welcome to Vogue Uncut, the podcast that's all about celebrating the lived experience of women in Singapore and beyond. I'm your host, Janice, Vogue Singapore's digital editor, and today's episode is something that I'm sure many women face in their lives. It's the underlying expectation that women should be living life according to timelines, when we're supposed to settle down, when we're supposed to have kids. But whose timelines are these? Because they're certainly not mine. To preface, this is not an episode to advocate for singlehood or being kid-free. It's about the nagging underlying sentiment that women should be doing or hitting a certain life goal by a certain age. The main question is, how are these supposed life goals the be-all and end-all? Today, I'm thrilled to introduce our two amazing guests for the show. Actress and host Muna Bakharib. A fun fact, she was my senior in school. And radio DJ Yasmin Cheng. Hello, ladies. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having us.
Hello.
So happy to have you guys today with us. Today's episode is really something that you guys can relate to. So not too long ago, I turned 30. But the thing is, I wasn't too freaked out. My mom was. Because according to her, I'm currently behind in the marriage department and even more behind with the baby-making plan.
Rude.
Yep. Like many others, she believes that marriage and procreating is how you can fulfill your life cycle. But where I am right now, unfortunately for her, which I have apologized to her on a daily basis.
Aww.
I do that because I feel bad.
Oh, man.
I'm someone who takes things a day at a time without worrying about what life chapter I should be living in. And today's episode is really discussing about this invisible timeline that women are always inherently held accountable for.
Mm.
Muna, so talk to us. Tell us about where you are at with life.
Yes, Muna.
Yeah, so where I'm at today, I just turned 35. I am currently in a relationship. I've been in a relationship for a few years now. So, wow, congratulations, yes. Me, a Sagittarius, being in a committed relationship for a long time.
Is that a thing? I
love
that.
Okay. A little bit. Here, there. See them snickering?
Yeah. Just awkward. Don't want to look at people.
But honestly, I think... growing up, my parents have never pressured me to get married. That's never been quite the focus. I feel like my father raised us with the focus of like, you need to be stable, you need to be able to make money, and you need to do something with your life. And that was kind of what he instilled in us. And so I think, lucky for me, the pressure of, you know, settling down, having kids, it doesn't come from my parents, and they kind of, you know, the issues were always like, are you doing well in life? Where are you at? You know, so that was always what I was dealing with at home. And it's so different with talking to my group of friends, because there are some of them who, okay, I need to get married by 24. And then when they don't get married by 24, they stress out and their parents come in to pressure them as well. So
24 is really young.
It's yeah.
Context,
yeah. It is young.
I have friends who got married
at 24. Yeah, exactly. And that, for some of my friends, will be considered quite old already, because they would have wanted to plan to be married in their 20s. They have a plan to get babies. Not that it's wrong. Like, if it's what you want, then sure.
Exactly. No, I really thought the newer generation would be like 30s are the norm.
Yeah.
That 20-something was the older generation where people got married younger.
Oh, this is quite new to me. Yeah. We're still millennials. But yeah, so I feel in some ways, I think my pressures for getting married was never there. And that's why even in relationships, I've kind of stated that, you know, my focus in life has always been my family, which when I say my family, I mean both my parents and more my work, because that's how I grew up thinking like, okay, this is what I should prioritize.
But have you ever thought of having kids or not having kids, or it's kind of like, whatever?
So oddly, it was a cycle. So from the start, from the beginning, when I was young, I was like, no kids. I can't stand kids.
Okay.
And then, you know, I got along with kids, actually. They're quite cute to be around, hang out with. Yeah, sometimes. Yeah. for a temporary moment and then like you leave them to their parents, right? So then I thought like, oh, okay, it wouldn't be so bad. Like I wouldn't oppose to having kids. Like it's okay. And then at some point of time, oddly when I turned 30, I had this want to have a child.
You did?
Yeah. And I wasn't even in a relationship, but it was this feeling in my ovaries where every time I saw a baby, I was like, oh, I need one.
Oh, like,
I
don't know if you've ever... It's like biology.
Yeah.
Okay.
Have you ever felt that way at all in your 30s, especially?
Funny enough, I actually felt that I didn't want kids in my when I hit 30.
Ah, okay.
Because I guess it was, it's an age where you think, oh, okay, I need to think about whether it's in the cards for me, right?
Yeah.
Then maybe I need to do something about it.
Mm.
But yeah, I don't... I just never felt inclined.
Yeah. To have kids. Okay. So it was an odd phase, and I thought I really wanted to do something, and even if I was a single mom, I would be okay with it. That's how much I wanted a child. Oh. But then maybe a few months passed, and I woke up, and I was like, you know what? It's not. It's just not practical for me to have a kid where I'm at in life. And the thing is, so my mom, she has dementia, and my dad also has underlying heart issues. So a lot of, like I said, my priority goes to my parents. And I feel because I'm juggling a lot of work, a lot of, you know, my family, I feel like having a kid does not make sense for me timing wise at that point of time, because, you know, there were a lot more important things that I wanted to focus on. But then, turning 35, I was like, maybe I should finally make the decision to, okay, yes kids or no kids. And then there was the whole news that came out about the egg freezing, whether you wanted to, you know, consider it. And I looked into it and I was like, you know what? I think I've decided once and for all that I'm not going to have kids. Like, this is how I'm going to.
But do you still have that desire though?
No. I feel like...
You've made peace with your...
Yeah, I've made peace. Not so much made peace, but I think all my life... My priorities have always been family and work. And I think that's how my life will be for a very, very long time.
Yeah. So you and I, we have like similar sort of and not similar. I think the big similarity is that growing up, I too was not pressured by my parents. So I think we have quite unconventional parents. Yeah. In fact, there was one statement that isn't about kids, but it kind of shaped the way I view the world, I think. And I didn't understand it at that point in time because I was quite young, I was a teenager. And my mom actually said, you know, you don't have to get married, right? And like you get married not because you feel you need to, you get married because you want to.
Yeah.
So I'm like, yeah, obviously the answer will be like, obviously, but it's not obvious actually when you think about it, because there's societal sort of demands and pressure. And even if you know, very few people at that age would really look into it or really know what you want. So you presume that what society wants is what you want, which may not be the case, but that shaped it. So I think it allowed me the freedom of choice in a sense. Yeah, because it took you a while to get there, right, Janice?
Yeah.
I believe that it was... I still actually feel that I'm in two minds about it, you know?
Yeah, like, because...
Because I'm so exposed to the environment where... Yeah.
And you want to please, right? You want to make them happy,
I
right?
I feel bad.
So there's a juggle between what you think you want. Is that what you want? So I'm like Muna in a sense. I didn't have that. But however, what we differ is that I never had that that biological clock tick. I was waiting for a very long time.
Yeah,
I don't want to be one of those that say, no, I'm never going to have kids. And then suddenly, boom.
Yeah,
pops out a few, you know?
Yeah,
but I kind of knew all my life, but I was always open to the idea.
Mm.
So I just left it and I waited. I waited for this mysterious sort of bam. You just, like you said, your ovaries are just...
Yeah, it's hello. Crazy. Yeah. I couldn't explain the feeling. Yeah. Like one day I just woke up, I'm like, I need to have a baby.
Yeah. And I never had that. At all, ever.
Yeah.
Like never. Until I think I hit about, you know, I mean... being unfortunately for us women, the age does make a difference because at 35, your eggs really go whee.
Yeah.
And then the potential of things going wrong goes exponentially, right? So 35 is like that ticking time bomb. So 30 to 35 were very, very pressurizing years. It's like every year is going, yes or no? Yes or no? Where's the biology clock? Where is it ticking? Then finally, when I reached 40, I'm like, I think the eggs are dead. So I think I can kind of come out
your
and say that
your body made the decision for you.
So then I came to terms with it, and obviously when you're older, then you're you can say this is me without feeling like, oh, what are some people going to say about this, about being judged and everything. Then you're like, what to do? Like that, lor.
That's your answer.
Mm.
Amazing.
Like that, lor. To each their own, right?
To each their own.
Actually,
what
can you reply to, like that, lor? You're like, like, okay, note it. You know, yeah. Like, it's a good response. I'm going to use it.
Have you guys faced any stigma, you know, on your end? When they are probing, you know, people are asking, oh, you know, you are, you know, maybe you're in an environment or in a group or clique where everybody's kind of settled down and you're just not, you're kind of like the only person that isn't. Has that been the case for you, Muna?
Yeah, I do have, you know, a bunch of friends who they have families, they have kids of their own, and when I hang out with them, sometimes they used to ask, like, when are you going to get married? Can you please have a kid? You know, like, even in jest, it's something that they kind of just like, it's a remark that they pass on. And finally, I sat them down one day and we were just talking and I said, I think I decided with where I'm at with life and what I want to focus on, I've decided not to have kids. And then they understood,
which is awesome.
Yeah, which is awesome. Yeah, I mean, you know, like, they're friends and they're great. But then now they don't ask anymore. Because I feel like, so when I was speaking to you, Janice, I think a lot of times, like, although the pressures don't come from my parents, it comes from outside where people are telling me, like, hey, you how old already? Aren't you going to get married? When are you going to have kids? I'm like, excuse me, who are you to, like, pressure me?
Yeah.
But it's just odd how it makes me realize that a lot of people still are in that mindset of, like, okay, you're getting older, you're in your 30s, when are you going to settle down? Like, settling down is that one life goal, or you know, what do you call it, like a landmark.
It's like a box you need to check.
A box that you need to check. Exactly.
Yes.
Get a job, tick.
Yes.
Get an education, tick.
Yes.
Get married, tick.
Have kids,
tick.
Yeah.
And if you don't do that, like, something's wrong with you.
Yeah.
Like, that's kind of what I feel, that what I've been facing. Even with my very close circle.
Yeah. Really?
Like in the best way. Like, it's not like, it's kind of like, oh, we need to fix this problem. Like, okay, we need to set you out with someone. It's in a way kind of fixing the problem.
Mm-hmm.
Which I now that I look back, I think, oh, it's strange that it's something that they need to fix, right? Like, how come that becomes their problem?
Yeah.
Or how come that becomes my mom's worse, like, that's, I'm in her prayers every night, you know, kind of thing.
I don't know. I feel like, I mean, parents aside, because parents are like special department,
when it
comes to friends, I think it's just about, I feel like they come from a good place and it comes from this feeling and want that you're close and therefore you want to have a shared experience, right?
Very, very true.
That, you know, that's true. If I have a kid, I want us to be on the same platform that we can enjoy this sort of thing together.
Yeah.
And the truth is, if you don't have a kid, your experience is going to be different. Not less, just different.
Yeah.
And therefore, they want that because this is a desire to do it together. So I don't think necessarily it comes from a bad place. From close friends, at least.
No. I never thought it was a bad thing, or like it was coming from a bad place.
Mm.
But it's more like, it does build up a certain pressure.
Right.
I don't feel it, but somehow it adds up, you know, day by day.
Yeah.
Which is interesting because I think I'm quite clear. Like, I will take things as they come.
Mm-hmm.
I love that though. Day by day is so freeing.
It's also quite Sagittarius.
Yeah. We're going down the zodiac.
Yeah, I wish I had that because I'm like, I need to plan everything.
Yeah. I think I'm very different with my personal life. With work, I'm a planner. But I think with personal life, I like to take it easy. I love just not having to worry about anything. But with Yasmin, how about you? Like, what has been the, you know, public sentiment been like for you?
Okay, so I'm generally quite private with my private life, I think. But that was actually a decision that my hubby has because he's incredibly private. Mm. Well, I'm quite an open book, so I'm okay with sharing anything and everything. But since you're in a marriage, you have to respect your partner. So I respect what he wants. That's why we don't really talk about much.
Yeah.
Until, I guess, a little recently, a bit later when we're older already, then I guess we're more settled. Personally, I'm quite lucky. I haven't had very much criticisms from people who are close to me. Mm. Not from my mom. My mom's only thing she said was, such a pity. Such a pity you're not going to have kids. And then maybe she thinks very highly of herself because I'm a child. She's like, I think they would be very intelligent. I'm like, okay, sure, because they're your genes, right? Other than that, she was quite okay. In-laws really wanted, but then the hubby didn't really want as well. So they just left it as is. Close friends never pressured, ever. Nobody wants that shared experience with me, lah. Nobody ever asked me, hey, can you have a kid so that our kids can play together? Nobody, no. What does it say about me? I don't know.
Now,
why?
Now it makes you wonder.
Nobody wants to hang out with me. No, what I did have was actually some, not close, but like colleagues or like people in the outer circle in a sense. Mm. They would say things like, oh, you must have a kid. And I'm like, why? Because I'm curious to know why your stance like must. Why is it a must? Mm-hmm. And then it would be like, oh, you are not a family until you have kids. Mm. To which I thought about it first. And I was like, no, I don't think that theory is accurate, because my stance is that blood does not a family make. Mm. It's about the things you do for each other. It's about the experiences. And what about people who can't have kids?
Yeah.
Then does that mean you're not a family? There's so many questions, right? So yeah. I don't think family should be, for me, the definition. I just decided, no, it's not. So then the words did not matter.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, well, that's to you then, but not to me. Yeah. That was a one-off, I guess.
Yeah.
I think it's also where we're living it. Like, we live in Singapore. We're in an Asian culture.
Could be worse, you know.
Yeah, it could be worse, you know. But I think Singapore provides a lot of grants for married people and, you know, the whole BTO situation, which I guess are great. It's encouraging to get married and have a kid, you know, because there's a lot of benefits that will come your way. So I think, like, in a way, we're also born into the culture and the setting that we're in, which has instilled this, like, I'm trying to speak for my mom, like, it has instilled this feeling of, okay, this is what you need to do to fulfill your life cycle.
I love these conversations. So I love having conversations with friends and finding out what makes them tick, right? Mm. So when you want to have a kid or your mom wants you to have a kid, I can't just take the answer that this is the life cycle. Mm. I need you to think a little bit more. If there's no right and wrong, I need you to tell me, why do you think this is necessary?
Yeah.
Or like, if you have a child, why is 2? Why not 3? Why not 4? Why not 1?
Yeah.
Like, how do you come up with this number? How do you decide to have kids? Is it because it's just something that you do because everybody tells you to? Then also okay if that's your answer. Mm-hmm. Is it something that you just have, that your ovaries are going to explode and you just need to?
Yeah.
Maybe it's a project with your loved one that, whatever, as long as you've thought about it and you have an answer for me, and that really, really piques my interest. But most people don't have an answer.
They don't.
It's just like that.
Yeah.
Which it is to meant me, to be.
To me, it's not an answer.
Yeah.
Because that is not your answer.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of things that come with having children, right? I think the responsibility is like times infinite, because you are bringing in another life. And I think that's what one of the considerations that I took, whether, you know, I have the capacity to do that.
To
give my time and to give this effort into this life I'm bringing. Because it's not just about just bringing it one time and then birthday, okay, cool, it's there. But I have to be able to guide the child, you know, like educate them.
Responsibility.
But yeah, it's just a responsibility. And I think because I don't have that capacity, that's why I've decided, okay, this is not what I want to focus on. And honestly, that's okay. Like, I still do get a lot of people asking me now. And now that I have a definitive answer, I feel like I'm in my power, because I finally decided. And I know my life, you know. I know what I'm capable of. And this is just how it is. Like that, law.
And nobody can tell you what, how much you can handle or what you can do. Yeah, only you can tell yourself that, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it's like interesting when people speak for you.
No, but there's a lot of thought going into it. I mean, even, okay, before you put kids in, like, marriage for me, I think it's also a different sort of commitment, right? I think because I grew up not having the pressure of getting married, to me, like, being in a relationship, it was always not
a priority either.
Yeah.
Like if it happens naturally and I really like, you know, it's a yeah. match.
Which is amazing. I love that attitude. Yeah. I love it.
Yeah, like don't force.
I think that's the only way relationship can be healthy too.
Yes.
You know, in the long
yes.
run.
Yeah.
Okay, veering off, okay? Yeah. I'm very passionate about this, okay?
Oh, okay?
Which I tell all my friends who have girls.
Yep. Yeah.
I'm of the generation where I feel like we're a bit beep, you know, because we live in a patriarchal system where you are taught and that you have to have a partner to be complete, that you have to find someone and then it's complete.
Yeah.
Whereas the lesson to be learned, well, like, why wasn't I taught this as a little girl? And because I'm not taught this as a little girl, I fight with it. So it's like a mind versus what you've been trained to think, right?
Mm. Yeah.
You should be taught to love yourself and be whole in yourself first.
Yeah.
And that you're fine on your own. And if someone comes along, which you love, you get along with, and you can have the journey together, that's fine. But you're not half or less. Yeah. You are whole. Mm. And you don't need somebody else to fill you.
Yeah.
So my mind knows this. But then all my fairy tales from young, everything teaches me otherwise by my choice of what I want to watch for K-dramas.
Yeah.
Right?
I'm with you on that.
Must be romance, must have happy ending. The guy must be like, love until cannot love. And then no matter what she does, he's there for her. I'm like, okay. Yeah.
In saying that also, like, I love romance. I love love, you know?
Yeah,
I love being in love.
But you don't need it. Like, some people just, like, Dada, I need to be in a relationship. I need to be in a relationship. And then time and again, you're not holding yourself. Mm-hmm. So you're always looking for somebody else to fill you up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whereas
yeah.
you are just like,
nah. Just go with the flow. But I think it comes with experience too. I mean, I have been in relationships where it did teach me to, like, you know what? You need to be one with yourself first before you are able to be partnered up with someone.
Mm.
And that's the healthiest way to go about
it.
Yeah. And to not force something when it's just not meant for you.
Yeah.
You
it's
know?
Not a need, it's a want.
Yeah.
Is different.
Yeah. yeah.
No, I love what you said about being whole in yourself because that's something that I feel that I have learned to be in my 30s.
Mm.
Yeah, because I think when you hit 30, I guess more things come into the picture for you. You are more accomplished, you are more confident, you're more sure of yourself. And I think that has also given me the confidence to start telling my mom these like small truths when she asks me about my love life or what. And I would just be straight with her, but sometimes she pretends that she doesn't really hear me. So
I see.
But we'll get there.
Yeah.
Eventually.
How does she react to you saying that?
She gets angry.
Oh.
Yeah. And she brushes it off.
Right, right.
And not like full-blown anger, but more like, oh, I don't want to have this conversation right
Maybe
now.
It's more about her than it's about you, actually.
I don't know. The thing is that she already has 3 kids that are already married and grandchildren is already in the bag. But I think I'm just the last. I'm the youngest, I'm the last girl.
Maybe it's like her expectation of how she is as a mom.
Yeah, she needs to see like all 4 of us.
Or then she is a failure or something. So it's more about her in a sense.
I think it's not so much failure, but she feels like she's leaving something like unfinished.
Exactly.
Like, unfinished like, for her. Yeah.
Which then in the end, my question to parents or to individuals for anything is like, if they're content, not happier, happy is a very difficult state to achieve and maintain. If you're content, then, or if your child is content, then isn't that the goal of it all, no?
You would think, right? But I guess, I don't know, from my experience with even aunts and uncles, because I have relatives sometimes asking me, like, when we meet at weddings, they're like, next time you're thin, when is it? And I'm like, oh my goodness. Like, and I'm just eyeing my parents, and my parents are like, oh, okay, whatever, it's not happening.
Yeah.
And it's fine. But I think from my experience, just encountering these people, maybe it's an older generation thing, because they grew up, you know, like, this is how it is. Like, you're going to grow up by this age, you're going to get married. And you know, with some of the relationships that I know of, it's all, like, arranged marriage.
Yeah.
It's just like, okay, you grow up with this one, there's this son and daughter, we put them together, and then they just start a family.
Right.
And that's just how it was. So I think because they grew up that way, now that they bring up the next generation, that's what they want to
Have you
bring
ever
in.
Tried just responding? Don't say content, because people get a bit confused. And so you just say, like, but I'm happy.
And then what is the rebuttal for that? Yeah. I'm happy. No, you cannot be happy. You must get married and you must have a kid.
Have like, you tried that?
Nobody ever comes up to me for this. So I'm like, I'm very fierce.
I think they know.
I'm very fierce. So what? Like, nobody tells me. So I'm like, I would say it, but I'm happy. Yeah. And when you say in a calm way and he's like, I'm happy, then people are like, sure.
Yeah.
No, don't be happier. You know what I mean? That would be the appropriate response, right?
Yeah.
In my head, they would respond with, but you'd be happier with
a
husband and a family.
Yeah. Then I'll be like, but how do you know?
Oh, I think I'm going to bring Yasmin to all these weddings that I go to.
Can you come to my house?
So just ask the question and then it'll be like,
yeah.
Well, then they might go like, yeah, because, you know, for me, then you go like, yes, for you, but how do you know for me?
Ooh.
And the baseline is you don't.
Yeah. And you don't know what's going
Things
on.
Things could
in my
escalate
life.
Really fast.
That is true. It could, you know, with older folks, right?
Disrespectful.
Yeah.
But it is hard to have that conversation with older
folks. It is hard.
Yeah.
Especially if you don't have that kind of relationship and you're meeting that kind of setting where it's a jolly family occasion. It's not really the right time to say, I don't want to get married. Like, I think sometimes you just have to like brush it off.
That's what I usually
shake
do.
Shake it off, right?
Or just own it. Just tell them next year.
Yeah. Next year.
Yeah.
Then the next year comes along, then how?
He broke up with me. He dumped me.
Tell them a story. Yes. String them along. I love that.
Then after that, next year. Then, oh my gosh, he dumped me. Yeah. Then after a while, they're going like, okay, Kasiana,
next year, I'm the second wife. Touchy subject, let's not get into it.
Oh my gosh, I tell you, that would really like everybody would just zip, right?
Just make it as dramatic as possible so nobody asks questions.
Because it goes into really uncomfortable zone, right?
That's when one way to do it.
Them, shut them up.
Yeah. I'll create.
I think that's the plan.
Create wonderful scenarios for them to.
Oh wow. Okay. Okay. I better back off now.
But I feel okay with the newer generation or the people I speak to who are about my age or younger. They have now this idea of retiring with your friends.
Oh my
It's okay.
I love it.
The same thing. Like, it's okay if I don't have a companion with me or a partner with me. It would be nice, but at the end of it all, my long-term goal is to buy a big house and then retire with friends.
I want that. I need to hang out with younger people.
I actually have had the same conversation before. Yeah. So I think it's going around this unspoken.
Can you please count me in? Please, thanks.
Sure. She just wants to be invited.
Yeah. The rejection is real. Like, she was like, excuse me, you see, this is why I don't. But to add on to Muna, because you were saying that you're worried about the responsibility thing, right? Mm. I think for me, there's a huge worry. It's a very strange worry. I don't think this is common, but I'm so worried that also if I have a child, I can't guarantee that this human being is going to turn out a good human being. Mm. And that is my legacy.
Yeah.
And you can't guarantee it because there is, I believe, nature and nurture.
Yeah.
So it's a combination of both. Sometimes you could be the most nurturing and you could have the best intentions as a parent. But then there's the nature element and there's circumstance and everything. And the last thing I want is that I want to live an authentic life and I want to live that when I've left, that I've done even a little bit more good than the bad stuff that I've done, because all of us do bad stuff, right? Just a little bit more. So it's slightly positive. I don't want a child that I leave behind to undo everything. And that's my legacy, right?
Yeah.
And I cannot guarantee it.
Is that what has been holding you back?
No, it's not what's holding me back, but it's a very big consideration.
Right.
Like, how do I know that this child that is going to be, you don't have to be the president of Singapore. You don't have to be a scholar. You don't have to be all that.
Yeah.
You just have to be a good human being.
How can you teach that?
Yeah. Exactly. Right? Then how? I mean, I can't.
The responsibility is definitely huge in this aspect. And I feel like I've also thought about this many times, especially when I watch those crime documentaries that I love.
Yeah, yeah.
And you can't control it. You know, no matter how hard you try, some families, how hard they try. It's just a bad egg, right? Like, some of them are just born evil, you know, as quote-unquote, with some of the documentaries I've watched. And I think that's definitely something that scares me.
Yeah.
And it's such a huge responsibility because you're not just responsible for this person's future, but you're also responsible for this person's livelihood. Yeah. And, like, to keep to keep the kid alive, you know? Like, such a great responsibility it is to have that in your hands.
I feel that then goes back to, I feel like if you really want something and you know in your gut and that is the sole purpose or the purpose of what you live for and that's what you want, regardless of, can I make this work with the money, with the time, with the responsibility, everything, it doesn't matter because it will just work out because it's what you want.
Yeah.
So I think why people struggle sometimes, I would like to hazard a guess, is because you didn't think it really deep and hard about why you want this. If you know the whys, the hows, everything else just comes easy.
You will figure it out.
Because it's what you want. You know what I mean? But when you don't know why you want to do this, then the, oh, but it's very expensive. Oh, I'm going to be very tired. Oh, but then, but I don't really want a boy. I want a girl. You know, like, oh, should we have it in a dragon year? But in dragon year, then a lot of other students, then very hard to get into a school.
Wow.
Then the school that we are in, then should we move? Do we have the money to move nearby to be 2 kilometers? Or, you know what I mean? But if you really, 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 really wanted it and you thought it through, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. Yeah. I think we're running a little bit out of time now, which is sad.
So
but you know, with Asian culture, in the Asian culture that we live in, I think many there are more young, promising women who are able to discern their own truth, right, from what society has kind of set up for them. What do you think are the reasons that people are going against this age-old stigma that more women are, you know, finding themselves?
I think it's it's a recent thing that I like to talk or think about. It's about women. Oh, I hate the word coming to power, but it sounds terrible because it's not. So the patriarchy does exist. And prior to this, right, I'm like, ah, this woman empowering thing, right? It's very roll eye sometimes. I'm not going to support you just because you have a vagina, because I do have one too. I should support you for the right reasons. But after a lot of conversations that I facilitated and stuff, I realized that there is a big difference, and the patriarchy does exist, and the men are part of the system as well. It's not as if they're like, woohoo, right? They're part of the system, and slowly, slowly, it is changing. And with that slow change, there is more permission for women to explore what you kind of want. And therefore, with the new generation, there's more thoughts or like questions. And with questions come awareness. With awareness comes hopefully an answer. If not, then a no answer. Because what you do not know what you are, you will know what you are not, at least. Do you know what I mean? And I think that's because of that small shift in the male-female dynamics in society on a whole. Small, tiny, tiny
one.
We're
getting there.
That's my
baby steps.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think it's the opportunity to dream. It's there, you know, and I think people are taking it. And I think with where we're at with the internet, with access to communication and access to each other, it's easier to find your community of people who,
which is important.
Yeah, who want the same lifestyle as you or who believe in that set mindset that you have in your life. So once you find that community, you're able to discuss, you're able to encourage each other, enable each other. So I think there's a lot more of that. So it's kind of like a, I'm doing this, this like
princess motion.
It looks like a jelly
fish. You know, like we're all kind of just enabling each other, encouraging each other. And yeah, so in some ways it is women coming into power because.
I get what you mean. But kudos to the guys as well.
Yeah.
Because in order for us, you know, to kind of delve into what it is you want or what you want to be, there needs to be the opposite side supporting as well. So for example, your partner in supporting this journey, you know, that's also a positive element that has lent this whole, you could say, movement.
It's kind of just finding your own truth and, you know, claiming it.
A permission that society, both men and women, that you kind of have this opportunity.
And it's great that we're pushing for that these days, right? A lot of people are more vocal in being your true self, finding who you are, and really claiming it. So I think that's so important, and that's a big conversation to have that you should have with a lot of people finding yourself.
And that finding yourself has no correlation to affecting someone else.
Yes.
Which before that is like, you know, if this is you, then it affects me. You know, it's like, no, it's got nothing to do with you. It's just about me.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. And finding yourself doesn't need to be by a certain age either.
Yes.
You don't need to, need to find myself before I'm 30.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that as with the whole marriage thing and the kids thing, finding yourself doesn't, you don't need a timeline for that.
Absolutely. Because you were saying that at 30, you're more whole.
Yeah.
I'm at 45 and I ain't that. So, you know,
yeah.
So it's a very slow journey.
It will happen.
I hope so before I die. It will be nice.
Okay, you know what, Yasmin? We can live together, okay?
Okay.
Can
imagine me at 90, I'm like, Janice, I still don't know. How do you know at 30?
We will all share a house together.
Okay, yay!
For everybody.
I didn't say yes, but okay. I'm just part of this. I'm just an observer.
Okay, Muna is kicking us apart.
Yeah, the rejection is real.
But yeah, just to add to what you said, Janice, I think you're also continuously finding yourself. You know,
yeah.
I was finding myself
in my
20s, in my 30s.
There's no end to
this
it.
Year, I'm still finding myself. Yeah, there's no end to it. So for me, I'm the same as you. I live life as it goes. Just go with the flow and just, you know.
I like it so much.
And because the thing is, you can plan as much. And I plan like a very like pencil in plan, but so many things can change. Like life can come at you with something great and then something like not great, you know. Yeah. So a lot of things change. So I think if you're kind to how you live your life and just kind of take it bit by bit, then, you know, you'll kind of be comfortable with that. Like, it's going to go up, down. You're going to lose yourself a little bit. And then you're going to find yourself again. And that's okay.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
I'm going to cry now.
No, seriously, yeah.
Yeah, we will all do a group hug after this.
Be kind to yourself and be kind to others.
Mm.
And just, okay, the live in the moment thing, I'm not down, but I really want to be there.
I think we have checked off many cliche phrases in this episode.
No, but it's true. It really is true.
Yeah.
What was that phrase? Worrying too much about the future steals the peace of today.
Oh, okay. I've never heard that one.
That is correct.
But it does.
Yeah.
It steals my peace all the time.
I can
know it, but I can't
that.
Put it into...
Yes.
Actually, I want to be a Sagittarius now, can I?
You,
can I join the Sagittarius
can,
club,
I guess.
I mean, depends on your rising
my gosh,
and your
check
mood.
Out the,
we'll see.
Whatever.
Sorry, you're outnumbered.
We gotta wrap this up now.
All right, and we're done.
Well, it has definitely been such a great pleasure having you guys.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah.
Like, it's my first time meeting Yasmin, and I feel like we've connected through this episode.
Well, we are going to be living together next time.
Oh, yeah.
You walked into this, girl.
Just kidding.
Thanks so much for joining us and being on this episode and being part of the first launch of Vogue Uncut.
Woo!
Yeah. Which is great. And yeah, thanks so much for sharing about your lives and your viewpoints. And it's something that I feel many women can relate to.
Thank you, Janice. Thank you for sharing as well.
Yeah, I didn't expect to share so much, but
that's what a conversation is about.
Yeah.
Subscribe to Vogue Singapore to keep up with Vogue Uncut and the latest news from our editors reporting daily on the latest fashion, beauty, and culture. More information available at your fingertips at vogue.sg/subscribe.